Independence Day, a celebration of freedom that is near and dear to the hearts of the American people. Many have fought and died to purchase freedom for all Americans. This 4th of July, the King is Coming telecast salutes the intrepid soldiers who stood in the gap for us and asks that each one of us take the time to thank God today for the marvelous freedoms He allows us to share. On behalf of all of us here at The King is Coming, happy 4th of July.
All of us at the World Prophetic Ministry want to say a hearty God bless America this year especially. After all that our nation has been through, it's time to wave the flag. It's time to show our patriotism. It's time to call upon the people of America to call upon God and ask God to indeed bless the United States of America. Now, you may ask yourself, Ed, is it fair to say that? What about Canada? What about Brazil? What about other great countries around the world? What about South Africa? What about Russia? Can any nation say, God bless our nation? I think the answer to that is yes, an emphatic yes. The Bible says, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament context, for the people of Israel, they realized they were in a special covenant relationship with God. They were a theocratic kingdom of the people of God on earth. And yet that blessing of God was not limited just to them. It was available to any people that would come to God. It was available to the Assyrians if they would repent at Nineveh. It was available to the Babylonians if they would come to God. It was available to the Egyptians, and it's available today to any nation in the world that is willing to say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's our Savior. He's our God. And we're going to pray that God will bless our nation. Not to the exclusion of other countries, not to the exclusion of other nations, but that God might bless our nation in particular. Everybody in every nation ought to be able to pray that and say that from the depth of their heart and their soul, that if you love God with all of your heart, you love your country, then certainly you want God to bless your nation, just as you want God to bless your life. For you see, the blessing of God comes when we will receive the power of God Himself in our lives. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom, liberty, is a gift of God, of the God of liberty. It's the blessing of God in our lives. It's not just something that is a political circumstance in our experience as Americans that over 2 1/4 centuries ago, the patriots that founded the United States of America made a declaration of independence that asked God to bless this nation, and we have in turn been blessed by the results of that for these 2 1/4 centuries now. No, it's more than that. It's the blessing of God that comes to the lives of people who are willing to let God be God in their lives. For we can read the right prayers, say the right things, go to a religious service if necessary, but that does not mean that we have a relationship with God. It's that personal relationship with God that brings the blessing of God to us as individuals, that brings it to our churches, that brings it to our nation. One of the reasons I'm convinced that God has blessed America all these years is because America was founded by godly men and women who were concerned to take the Bible seriously and to live out its truths in their lives. Secondly, they took the whole issue of freedom seriously, a freedom that was guaranteed to everybody as one of the inalienable rights given to us by our Creator. They understood that we're not here by accident. We're not simply here by convenience. We are here by the divine and sovereign choice of God Himself. If God called those pilgrims and Puritans to come to this new world, to establish this new nation, to the glory of God, and they came and they did it by the will of God, and you and I then are the recipients of the blessing of God because our forefathers paid the price to establish this nation based on the principles and truths of the Word of God itself. They did it with a sense of dignity, with a sense of freedom that would allow everybody of every religious persuasion to come to this country in order to serve God by the choice and the dictates of their own heart. And even in some cases, we allow that same freedom willingly, deliberately to those that don't believe in God at all in hopes that they'll come to faith in him and realize that America has been great because her people have a great God who has greatly blessed our lives. As time has gone on in American history, there have been many challenges along the way. God has intervened in many of those occasions. In the Revolutionary War, at a very crucial point, General Washington and his army are about to be defeated by the British in New Jersey. A fog comes rolling in, covers their escape as they retreat across the river and escape from being trapped on the end of that peninsula. There are times in the Civil War when God again moves in to preserve the union of this nation. And there are certainly times that God moved in the 20th century when Hitler was determined to exterminate the Jews, to conquer the world. God gave to the American people and to the people of Europe the will and the determination to stand up against the tyranny of Hitler. And God even gave to us, when necessary, the weapons by which to win that war. I've often asked myself, what would have happened if Hitler had discovered the atomic bomb before we did? What would he have done with it? How would he have used it? You see, God has placed into our hands incredible opportunities, incredible potential as a nation. But he also holds us accountable for what we do with that potential. For if we want to continue to see the blessing of God on America, we need to be a people who are on our knees, seeking God, calling out to God, turning our hearts and our lives over to God. Oh, in a crisis, in a tragedy, we're quick to pray. We're quick to sing, God bless America. But when everything is going well, when the crisis is past, when the blessings are flowing, do we then remember to get on our knees and again say, God bless America, convict us where we need to be convicted, challenge us where we need to be challenged, encourage us where we need to be encouraged, bless us even when we don't deserve your blessing. If we'll come to him with that attitude, God will indeed bless America abundantly.
The book of Revelation is the most fascinating book ever written. The reader is swept to another time and another place as the panorama of the future unfolds before him. Everyone wants to know about the future, and Revelation has the answers. But how are we to understand this complicated and often confusing book? Introducing the Revelation Commentary by Ed Heinsohn and Mal Couch. This amazing 256-page hardback commentary is packed with vivid details of future events. It explains the fine points of Bible prophecy without getting bogged down with speculation. A valuable resource for every student of prophecy and essential reading for those who still find Revelation a little confusing. To receive your copy of the Revelation Commentary, make your gift of $25 or more. Payable to The King Is Coming, Box 907, Colton, California, 92324. To make a gift by credit card only, call 1-800-622-2767.
God has indeed wonderfully blessed the United States of America, far beyond anything that we deserve. God in His grace has poured out blessing after blessing, generation after generation, because there are so many millions of people in this nation who've given their life to Christ, who claim their confidences in God Himself, who are on their knees praying for revival in America, for the blessing of God in this great country. And though we're not a perfect nation, and though there are many problems and challenges and difficulties in America, it is still one of the greatest nations in all of the world, a nation in which there is freedom of religion, freedom of choice, freedom of opportunity for you and I to open the Word of God, to hear the claims of Jesus Christ, and to decide in our own hearts and minds, is Jesus really who He said He was? Can He do what He said He can do? Is He the Son of God, the Savior of the world? You know, when God talks to His people, He said in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter in verse 9, He said, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." God uses that analogy of a nation, a holy nation, a special people, a chosen people, whose lives are to reflect the glory of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God. And too many times with our freedoms in America, the freedoms have been used to do all the wrong things, to make all the wrong choices. We have all kinds of problems in this country today. problems that are tearing apart our families, destroying our children, drug epidemics that are wiping out potentially even the next generation. And yet, in spite of all of those problems, there are great freedoms and great opportunities in this nation, opportunities for us to display in our lives the glory of God, that others might see God at work in us. And that's true of every nation, that God might display His glory in your nation, through your lives, through your experiences, that people might see in you what God is really all about. That's what ancient Israel was supposed to do. They were to display the glory of God to the nations so that all the nations would come to Jerusalem and seek the God of Israel and want to know Him and want to walk in His ways. And yet the prophets of Israel condemned them so often, saying, "You have not done that. You have turned instead to the idols and the gods of other nations. You have failed to live up to the standards of the laws of God. You are not showing them God. You are showing them your own greed, your own sinfulness, your own selfishness. And because you have failed to display the glory of God, God will temporarily take His glory from you and bring the Gentiles to destroy even the people of Israel, even the city of Jerusalem, even the temple of God." A God who destroyed two temples is trying to say to us, "I'm not the curator of a museum. I don't keep old buildings, not even old churches. I want to be Lord and God in your heart and in your life. I want your body to be the temple of the Spirit of God. I want my power to be on display in your life." And whether you live in a community that has a majority of Christians or a minority of Christians, it does not matter. Because if the glory of God is on display in our lives, people will see in us the reality of God, the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the truth of God, and they will be irresistibly drawn to the person of God Himself. But too many times they don't see that. C.S. Lewis, the Oxford scholar, once said, "The greatest argument in favor of Christianity are the lives of Christians." And then he turned right around and said, "And the worst argument against Christianity are the lousy lives of Christians." You see, we either are saying to the world, "This is the truth, this is the way, follow me," or we're saying to the world, "I don't know God at all. I don't have any message of hope and salvation to share because it hasn't made any difference in my life and in my heart." If God is going to speak to us, if He's going to save us, change us, sanctify us, challenge us, transform us, and use us to be a blessing in the lives of others, then I think it's fair and proper for us to say, "God bless us," and then through us in turn, "God bless America." Better that we sing "God Bless America" than a rock song that has nothing to do with God at all. Better that we pray "God Bless America" than that we allow people to pray to those things that do not represent the truth of God at all. You see, we're at a very important point in American history where if we're going to continue to be a nation that is great, a nation that gives leadership to the world, a nation that is the example of freedom and democracy, of goodness and justice and righteousness, then it must be true in our lives if it's going to be true in our nation, so that our nation can be an example to other nations. When we fail to be what God wants us to be, we're really saying we don't have the answer. We can't help you. But when we as a people are willing to get on our faces before God, on our knees before God, we're willing to call out to Him, cry out to Him, and let Him deal with our hearts and lives and say, "God bless me. God bless America. God bless the world through us." Then America can reach the greatness that I believe God intended for her to have. Not just as a military power, not just as a commercial enterprise, but as a nation that would reflect the goodness of God, the freedom of God, the liberty of the Spirit of God, the blessing of God. And in nation after nation after nation, God is calling people to come to Him, to believe in Christ. He's building His church. He's blessing those nations whose God is the Lord.
For years, people have enjoyed the poetry of Dr. Dave Breese. And now 28 of Dr. Breese's most moving poetic works have been printed in a magnificent, glossy, hardcover 64-page book. Touching works like Calvary's Love, The Sunward Trail, and The Rightful King. For Calvary's beautiful, ghastly work reached from there to the depths of hell, where the shrieking of demons pierced the air as their kingdom was shattered and fell. For heaven's prince from the realms of light, the power of death put down. Grace and life were poured on the world of men by the King with the rightful crown. The King is Coming telecast needs your help to stay on the air. In appreciation of your most generous gift, we'll send you a copy of Dr. Breese's book of poetry titled My Highest Mind. Make your gift payable to The King is Coming, Box 907, Colton, California, 92324. To make a gift by credit card only, call 1-800-622-2767. Be sure to request Dr. Breese's book of poetry when you make your gift.
The blessing of God comes in our lives when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and submit ourselves to God. When we stop saying, I can do it myself, I can live my own life, do my own thing, I really don't need God at all. As long as we have that attitude, we will continue on a course that ultimately leads to disappointment. If all you're living for is your house and your car, your job and your income, your swimming pool, your television set, could I remind you that eventually you'll be disappointed? Eventually you'll sit back one day at the end of life and say, is that all there is? Is that all it was all about? That's not enough. Where was the blessing of God in my life? The grace of God and the goodness of God? You'll never find it until you find God Himself. And God is willing to reveal Himself to everybody that will come to Him, who says to us in the pages of Scripture that I am the God of heaven. I am the God of love and grace. And I have sent my Son, Jesus Christ, from the glory of heaven into the midnight of earth, to step into the fallenness of fallen humanity, to allow Himself to die on a cross for our sins, to give Himself so that we might know the forgiveness of God, the goodness and grace of God, that we might receive the gift of eternal life and salvation from God, and that we might know the blessings of God in our lives. You see, God is not a kind of ecclesiastical robot that you just pull the string and say, God, bless me, dump it out on me. No, there has to come a point at which I bow before Him and say, God, I am unworthy of Your blessings. I don't deserve Your grace. I don't deserve Your gifts. I'm coming to You humbly saying, oh God, bless me in spite of myself. Bless me because I desperately need You. Like Jacob in the Old Testament, who wrestles with the angel of the Lord and says, I will not let you go until you bless me. It's time for some of us to get a hold of God in a new and fresh way in our lives, beg Him for His blessings, for His help, and for His encouragement, to let our lives be broken before Him. For after Jacob wrestled with the Lord, what happened to him? The Bible says the angel of the Lord smote him in the hip, put it out of joint. He left that encounter with God limping away, but knowing I've come face to face with God. I have been broken by God. And out of that brokenness comes the blessing of God in our lives. It's not merely me coming to a point of saying, God, I'm doing so well, I deserve it. It's me coming to a point where I am so broken before Him that I realize I don't deserve it. I desperately need it, however, and I come to Him by faith, asking Him, oh God, bless my life. Oh God, save my soul. Oh God, meet my need. You see, even an atheist who says he doesn't believe in God, or an agnostic who says, I'm not sure there is a God, when everything goes wrong in their life, when crisis comes and the bottom falls out of their life, will instinctively cry out, oh God, what has happened to me? Why do people do that? Because they know in their heart of hearts, in the depth of their soul, that there really is a God. And they have come to the end of themselves, and they know there's nothing else they can do to fix it. And they cry out to the only One who can. And God tells us that if you'll come to me by faith, you'll call on me, I will gladly save you. I will gladly forgive you. I've stepped into the mess of the human race in order to provide grace and salvation and love and goodness and blessing. That's why I'm here. I'm closer than the breath you breathe, the Apostle Paul said. He's always there, available to meet your need, but he's waiting for you to acknowledge him, to turn to him and say, "Oh God, my life is yours. Bless me indeed." And when you and I are willing to bow our hearts and our lives and our knees before him, God says, "I will answer when you call. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the greatest thing you could do to be a blessing to America, to your own family, to your own life, is to come to Christ right now. And perhaps in this holiday season would be the most appropriate time to say, "God, I want to give the gift of my life back to you. I want to surrender myself to you. I'm tired of trying to do it my way. I'm tired of trying to figure out the answer to all the problems and struggles. I want you to bless America, but you'd have to do it in spite of me. And so today I want to come to you and say, God, I want you to do it because of me. I'm willing to bow before you. I'm willing to give my life to you. I'm willing to trust you as my own personal Savior, and I want to do it today."
Today's question is the tribulation the same as the 70th week of Daniel? Is it for the wrath of God or for Satan to vent his wrath upon believers and Israel? The Bible says Satan will go about with great wrath because he knows his time is short. Which is it, the wrath of God or the wrath of Satan?
Well, it's the wrath of God, although Satan has a place where he targets his wrath. But I think the tribulation is the 70th week of Daniel, because you go to a passage, for example, like Zephaniah chapter 1, and you have, starting in verse 14, "Near is the great day of the Lord, near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord." So you have all these terms relating to the tribulation, like a dozen of them here. A day of wrath is that day, a day of terrible, of trouble and distress. The word distress there is the New American Standard Translation for tribulation. See, and he goes on and uses all these words to describe to the same general period. It's just that the 70th week of Daniel is the only place where this time that we call the tribulation is laid out as a seven-year period. So I think the best way to understand this is it's a seven-year period that's characterized by these different qualities that are describing what's going on.
I think there were a list of 49 different expressions for the tribulation just from the Old Testament alone.
Right.
I think, too, Tim, it involves both the wrath of God, essentially, and the wrath of Satan. I always tell people you don't want to be left behind, because when the seven seals are opened, the scripture in Revelation says it's the wrath of the Lamb, of Christ himself. When Satan is permanently cast out of heaven in Revelation 12, he's thrown to the earth having great wrath. And then it actually tells you for 3.5 years, times and a half a time, he goes about and vents his wrath against Israel. The church has been raptured to heaven. He can't touch them, so he reaches out against the earthly people of God and expresses his wrath against them. And then finally, in the bowl judgments, the book of Revelation says in the 15th chapter, it's the wrath of God. If you're left behind, you're under the wrath of the Lamb, you're here during the wrath of Satan in the Great Tribulation, and then you're also under the wrath of God, and when the wrath of God is poured out, it's final. That's when the voice of God speaks from the throne room of heaven and says, "It's done, it's over, it's finished. Mankind has gone beyond the point of no return. There's no hope for them, and the judgments of God are irrevocable." Trust me, you don't want to be left behind. Everything goes wrong.
Amen. One thing that I find helpful is to understand the purpose of that seven-year titanic period of time. More space is given in the Bible to that seven-year period than any other period of time. And it culminates the long war between Satan and God for the souls of men. They're both competing for the souls of mankind, and God, in his mercy, uses that time of wrath on the unbelievers to rid the world of the unbelievers so that the undecided can make their decision because they're going into the millennium, and they have to get ready to make that decision as quickly as possible, because anyone who hasn't received Jesus by the time he comes in his power and glory will not get to participate in the millennium. And we don't want any of you to miss the millennium. We want you to miss the tribulation by being taken to be with the Lord, but to enjoy being with us and with believers from countless generations, because, not because they deserve it, not because they're good people, but because they've called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And you can be a part of that army if you'll call upon Jesus today.
Have you ever wished you could have the complete plan of God for the world as relates to Bible prophecy visualized all in one place? Announcing the complete Bible prophecy chart, a high-quality, glossy, full-color, fold-out chart that takes you from eternity past, before creation, to eternity future, the new heavens and new earth. All the major ages of man, from innocence, conscience, and human government, all the way through the millennial kingdom, are illustrated in striking crystal clear color. And just so nothing is left to chance, on the reverse side, each of the seven dispensations is described in detail. We'll send you a copy of this marvelous visual aid in appreciation of your gift of $10 or more to help The King Is Coming stay on the air. Make your gift of $10 or more payable to The King Is Coming, Box 907, Colton, California, 92324. To make a gift by credit card only, call 1-800-622-2767. Petra, the Stone City. What possible role could Petra play in a dark future time when world war forces the evacuation of Israel? Will it be Israel's prophesied hiding place when Antichrist launches his program to annihilate the Jews? Find out next on The King Is Coming, when the founder of The King Is Coming, the late Dr. Howard C. Estep, takes us to Petra, the rose-red city, half as old as time.
We hear a lot these days about patriotism, about people that have given their all for America, given their lives for our great nation. And could I challenge you today, maybe the day, to give your life to Jesus Christ, to say to Him, it's time for me to come to You and trust You as my Lord and Savior. I want You to bless my life, bless my family, bless my nation. I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, He died for my sins. He died in my place, and I want to accept Him as my Savior. You'd like to do that and be set free by the power of God. Bow your head. Pray something like this with me. Dear God, I need You. I admit that I have failed and sinned. I admit that I cannot solve the problems in my life. I cannot get free from the bondage myself. But I believe that Jesus Christ can set me free. And I trust Him right now as my personal Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Save my soul, change my heart, change my destiny. I accept Your gift of eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. Set me free, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll pray it by faith. God will hear your prayer. God will come into your life, and God will set you free.